So this morning we are in Jeremiah chapter 1, beautiful passage where God called Jeremiah to be a prophet. And we can glean some great truths from this passage this morning here in Jeremiah chapter 1. We'll start there in verse 4. The Bible says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." And that is my title. I have put my words in thy mouth. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for the privilege to be here this morning. We just want to lift up our Savior and be drawn unto him. We pray that you would guide us, that you would speak to every heart, accomplish your will in every life that's represented. And we pray, Lord, that we would leave changed by the power of your word. We love you. We thank you for this opportunity to look into thy word, and may you bless every aspect of this service. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. So it all starts with the word of God. And that is true for us as well. When God saved us, God called us. Is this not on? Sorry about that. When God called us, when God saved us, he called us to go out and tell others, as we'll see in this passage. But it all starts with the Word of God. You know, the Bible says, "Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God," in Romans 10:17. And when Jesus sent the disciples out and sent us out there in Matthew 28, what did he say? "Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them." But then he said, "And I want you to teach them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. I want you to teach them the Word." So he gave the Word for us to go, but then he wants us to give the Word. And he says to Jeremiah, "I want you to go." But he says there in verse 5, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." My friend, if you're saved this morning, you are known by God. You are one of his children. You're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Isn't that an exciting truth? We talked about this Wednesday night, that we become the sons of God when we're saved. And God knows us. The Bible says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his." In 2 Timothy 2:19. God knows who we are. God knows everything about us. You know, David said in Psalm 139, "Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off." God knows us. And God has chosen us. Notice it says in verse 5, "Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Now, God has not called us to be prophets. The days of the prophets ended when the Bible was finished. But God did ordain us to preach the gospel. That word "ordain" means to call, to set aside, to sanctify, to call to a certain task. If you would, look at John chapter 15, verse 16, and the Lord Jesus Christ here talking to his disciples there in the upper room and ultimately talking to us and explaining that sure enough, he did ordain us. John chapter 15 and verse 16, the Gospel of John. I want you to see what Jesus said to the disciples. Here in John 15, 16, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." Jesus says, "I have ordained you to do what? Go and bring forth fruit." Jesus Christ has called us. He has ordained us to go. And we find Jeremiah's reaction here in verse 6 of Jeremiah chapter 1 is often the reaction of Christians, and that is this: "I can't do it." Look what he says, verse 6 of Jeremiah 1. "Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." Jeremiah is not the first one to do this. I would say Moses was probably the first one in Exodus chapter 3. Let's turn back there. We know the story of the burning bush. Moses had fled for his life and lived in the desert, where God called him to go back to Egypt and rescue God's people. And though Moses was a great leader, ultimately one of the greatest leaders that ever lived, initially when God called him, Moses tried to back out. Notice Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. Moses said unto the Lord, O my God, I am not eloquent, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Have not I the Lord? God, you can call someone else who can speak better than me, is basically what he was saying. Jeremiah says, I can't speak, I'm but a child. And when God called Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah said, Woe unto me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I can't do it. I'm a sinner. And often when Christians understand the call of God to be a witness for Jesus Christ, their reaction is, I can't do it. And that is not the response that God wants, by the way. And that's why God said to Jeremiah here in chapter 7, or chapter 1, verse 7 of Jeremiah, The Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child. In other words, that's not what I want to hear, that you can't do it. He said the same thing to Moses. He said, Who made man's mouth? In other words, you think I didn't already know that you were slow of speech before I called you? It's not a surprise. And look what happened. Look how God used Moses to bring millions of people out of Egypt and take them through the desert and watch over them and shepherd them, even though they were a rebellious mob, essentially. God said, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear excuses. And the number one excuse of Christians is fear. Fear. And yet God says in 2 Timothy 1:7, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If we're afraid to witness, it's not because God made us afraid. If we're afraid to witness, it's because someone else made us afraid. And it's not God. And we need to think about that, and we need to make that right. And so God says to Jeremiah, verse 7, Say not. In other words, I don't want to hear that you can't do it. But then he says this most important word in verse 7, two-letter word that's for all of us, Thou shalt go. Jesus said this over and over again to his disciples after his resurrection, Mark 16:15. He says, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 28:19, Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And then if you will look at Psalm 126, we'll see it again. But God's command to every single one of us that's a born-again believer in Jesus Christ is the same, and that is, go. Go. And God said it to Jeremiah, and He says it to us. He says, go. Psalm 126, look at verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Verse 6, Psalm 126. He that goeth forth and reapeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. There's that word go again. Go. And then if you look at 1 Corinthians 9, the Apostle Paul explained it a little bit differently. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16, Paul basically said, I have to go. I have no choice, because that's what God called me to do. 1 Corinthians 9:16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. It's not optional for Christians. When God was about to take Jesus back to heaven, what did He say in Acts chapter 1? Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. Not ye might be, not I hope you'll be, ye shall be witnesses unto me. So he says to Jeremiah, basically just three things. I don't want to hear any excuses. I want you to go and look at the last thing in verse 8, Jeremiah 1. Be not afraid. Just three things. No excuses, go, and don't be afraid. Go look at Proverbs 29, please, verse 25. Proverbs 29, 25, where God explains how the fear of man can be a serious issue in our lives. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. I wonder when we get to heaven, we talked in the Sunday school about the judgment seat of Christ, when we stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat, I wonder if we'll even consider offering up the excuse, I was afraid. You know we won't. We won't do it. Because God says, don't be afraid. He said it over and over again in Scripture. Every time He called somebody to do something, He always said, be not afraid, for I am with thee. And when He called Joshua, have not I commanded thee? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. The Lord thy God be with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Over and over again, be not afraid, be not afraid, be not afraid. And God says to Jeremiah, be not afraid of their faces. And by the way, Jeremiah was one of the later prophets, chronologically speaking. He was a prophet who actually got to observe Israel being taken, or Judah being taken captive, their final captivity into Babylon. He was a prophet before it all started, under the last wicked king, and then he was there, he was witness to Nebuchadnezzar coming and taking the people captive, and then he was actually part of the captivity. So he was there. And the prophecies that God sent from him, Israel didn't listen. There was one point where the king was so angry that he actually took him and put him into prison and dropped him down into a pit filled with mud or muck. The Bible just says some sort of muck. And he would have died if it hadn't been for someone else that came along to the king and said, please don't let Jeremiah stay down there, he'll die. And they let ropes down and they pulled him back out and they let him live his days in the prison, in the main prison. You know why he went to prison? For preaching the gospel. For telling the truth. The people didn't want to hear it. So God doesn't guarantee that if we'll go and tell people about Jesus Christ, that every single one of them is going to welcome with open arms the gospel and get saved. I wish that were the case, but it's not. You know, when Paul preached, I'd say Paul was probably a pretty good preacher. The Bible says there in Acts chapter 28, some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. Matter of fact, many tried to kill Paul many times. For what? Telling the truth. And so God tells Jeremiah in advance, I don't want any excuses. I want you to go, and I don't want you to be afraid. For he says in verse 8 of Jeremiah 1, for I am with thee. Don't be afraid because we have God's presence. And we can claim the same. He said the same to Moses. He said, certainly I will be with thee. And God was. The Bible says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. In Proverbs 28:1. We are told not to be afraid because God has promised His presence. You know, when Jesus sent His disciples in Matthew 28, He said, go ye therefore teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And what did He say at the end? And lo, I'm with you always. In Matthew 28:20. I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. I'll be with you. He says the same to us. I'll be with you. I've called you and I will be with you. But here's the most exciting part, verse 9. This is where we've been heading. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I put my words in thy mouth. God says, I just want you to go. I don't want you to fear. I don't want you to make excuses. But he promises us that he's called us and he'll be with us. But this is the greatest promise, that if we're yielded to him, he will help us with what we have to say. It's called being led by the Spirit. And if you're born again, you have the Spirit. Let's look at some scriptures in Acts, if we could. Let's start in chapter 1 and look at verse 8. And I just want you to see that when God promised his presence and his power, he promised he would help us to be the witnesses that we're to be. And this is the key to the whole thing. If we'll just go, if we'll just obey, and we're walking in the Spirit of God, God will give us what we need to say. Now, I'm not talking in the sense of a prophet where God's actually going to speak, thus saith the Lord, and we need to write it down and attach it to the Scriptures. But I'm saying that the Holy Spirit is there, indwelling us, and will help us when the time comes to speak for Jesus. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth. So that means that the Holy Ghost who indwells us gives us power. Power to do what? To witness. He gives us power. Now look at Acts chapter 4, please, verse 31. Acts chapter 4, verse 31, the Bible says, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Look what happens when Christians are filled. They speak the word of God with boldness. God told Jeremiah, I have put my words in thy mouth. And God tells us that if we will hide the word of God in our heart, he can use those tools to tell others about him. The Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he that calleth you, also will do it. I love that verse. If God's called us to do it, God not only is with us, but God actually is going to do it through us. That's exciting. Now let's look at some scriptures in John, if we could. John chapter 14, about the Holy Ghost, and about the promises of what the Holy Ghost will do for us if we will but go and tell people about Jesus, like we're commanded to. John chapter 14, notice verse 26. The Bible says, But the Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. That's great. That he's not only going to teach us the word, but he's also going to bring things to our remembrance when they're needed. Now look over in the next chapter, chapter 15, and verse 26. The Bible says, But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. How does he do that? Through us. He testifies of Jesus through us because he's in us, empowering us, and speaking through us. But here's the thing. He does not force us to open our mouths. That's something we've got to do. We have to obey and go and open our mouths and then trust the Holy Ghost to help us say what needs to be said. And anybody who's been saved a while and has had opportunities to witness knows that this is how it works. That God will give you an opportunity and people will ask you questions and you'll share things with them from the Bible, and when you're finished, you walk away and say, wow, I didn't even know I knew that. How was I able to bring all that together like that and explain those things? That's God. That's the Holy Spirit. That's why he's there. But he didn't force you to speak. He doesn't do that. That's what we have to do. That's our part, is the obedience. We have to be willing to obey. Now look at John 16, one more chapter over. Again, talking about the Holy Ghost's influence. The Bible says, "And when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." So the Holy Ghost does it all. He indwells us and empowers us. He helps us speak what we need to say. And He's also the one that then convicts the heart of the lost person of their need for Jesus Christ. And then, of course, they have a choice to make then, to whether believe and accept or reject the gospel. And that's up to them. The Holy Spirit, all He can do is convict. But God's given us a free will. We have to choose. And thank the Lord, if you're born again this morning, you chose to trust Jesus when the Holy Ghost convicted you. But the Bible says in Romans 8:14, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." God wants us to be led by the Spirit of God. What's the main reason He indwelled us? That we might be witnesses. And so God says in this passage, "I've ordained you, I'll be with you, and I'll put my words in your mouth." That's exciting. But what's our part? Our part is, don't make excuses like Jeremiah tried and Isaiah tried and Moses tried. Don't say, "I can't do it," but go. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of their faces. He says, "For I'm with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." That's our part, is the obedience. "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." So what a beautiful promise. He says, "I put my words in thy mouth." I believe we can claim that, not in the prophetic sense, but we can claim it in the Holy Ghost's leading sense. That He's indwelling us. He is God in the Spirit. He will help us to witness. But we have to be willing to witness. "I put my words in thy mouth." What a beautiful truth. What a beautiful promise. Let's pray.